Welcome, everybody, to a brand new episode of Now on the Clock podcast. I am your host, Nate Stockwell, and thank you for joining us. As a reminder, please engage with us and follow us on our social media accounts on all platforms. We are Now on the Clock podcast, and visit our website at www.nowontheclock.com. We got a great show today. We're going to be touching on the NBA bubble, players leaving the bubble, the Patrick Mahomes 10-year, $503 million extension. We are talking about the mess in Washington, D.C., and how Daniel Snyder's going to handle that. And we have the Madden 2021 ratings are released. So we're gonna give our take on that and probably a little feedback from what some NFL players are saying. Hey, enjoy the show. We're going to jump right in. What's up, Paulie Mack? How are things in Florida?
Pretty good. I've been working on my golf game the last couple days. I've got a golf trip coming up in 2 weeks and trying to get my swing back into the groove. It's painful. It's sweaty. It's humid here. So it's interesting.
You know,
it's
that's great for your flexibility, huh?
Yeah, it's going to take a while to get that flexibility back in the back.
Where are you golfing at? Any elite courses out there?
Oh, I wish. I haven't even gone on the course yet. I'm just hitting the range. You know, I don't want to embarrass myself when I'm actually on the golf course. I want to embarrass myself on the range first before I go to the golf course.
Yeah, you got a very good swing. I don't think you're going to embarrass yourself. Your score might be embarrassing for you, but I don't think your swing would be.
Thank you.
Unless you got some lingering injuries you haven't told us about.
No. I try not to embarrass myself. So unlike a lot of golfers I see out when we go on this trip, I spend a lot of time practicing out of the sand because the last thing I want to do is be in the sand and not be able to get out.
You know, Johnny G had a joke. He said he golfs in the 80s. If it's any warmer, he just won't play.
I don't know how you play that game, Paul. Every time I go out there, I end up with a sunburn. I drank too much, and my ball, I just have a severe slice when it comes to my swing. I don't find one redeeming quality in the game of golf.
You need a cigar. That'll help make it easier. All right, Johnny G, what's up in California, man? How you doing? How's everything with you?
Pretty good. Just got back from a family engagement. Haven't seen my family since Christmas, most of them anyway. Still not able to give them a hug, but it was good seeing everybody. Got to see my mom, celebrated her birthday. My aunt, my sister was there, so we had a good time.
Very nice. Very nice. All right, guys. Wait, we got a listener question this week. Jeremiah Lorenz from Tulsa, Oklahoma, wanted to touch on the Patrick Mahomes contract extension and his impact with the franchise tag. Paul, I know you did a little. Paul, I need a little research on this. Why don't you touch on this topic for us?
Yeah. So his question was: now that the franchise tag players have an opportunity to sign long-term deals as past, what does that mean for the future of their current franchise, and more specifically, the 10-year franchise, the 10-year deal that Patrick Mahomes just signed, which is kind of unheard of in the NFL? What are your guys' thoughts on Patrick Mahomes actually signing a 10-year deal? I mean, it's been a while since we've seen a 10-year deal.
Let's clarify for our listeners real quick. It's an extension. It was a 10-year, $503 million contract extension.
$450 million new money.
That's incredible. That is unheard of and unprecedented.
Well, contrast that to Dak Prescott, and the Cowboys want to give him a 5-year deal, and he wants a 4-year deal. So talk to me about why is there such a big discrepancy in the Patrick Mahomes years compared to the Dak Prescott?
Well, one is Dak Prescott isn't Patrick Mahomes, and I wouldn't give Dak Prescott a 10-year deal. I'm not even sure I'd give him a 1-year deal, but that's my opinion.
Well, the Cowboys are going to the Super Bowl.
That's right. Cowboys are going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but one thing about Patrick Mahomes, man, he is one of those transcendent players. I mean, if you're going to bank 10 years on a player, he's a guy that I would want to bank on. I mean, he's incredible. He's an incredible player. Tell me how many NFL contracts have been done like that. I know there hasn't been many.
All right. So I got a list of NFL players that have signed 10-year contracts in the past. One of them was Brett Favre back in 2001. He signed for 10 years, $110 million. He played 7 years of that contract. Good deal, bad deal?
Good deal.
What does Greg Williams say about that? Now, I think Brett Favre deserved it. He earned it. He was a gamer. He played a lot of games. He proved he was very durable. I think it's a great deal. Yeah, I would agree with that.
All right. The next one was Drew Bledsoe with the Patriots, also in 2001. And he
horrible deal.
he Apparently, they must not have given him a lot of guaranteed money because that deal lasted 14 months.
Is there ever been a quarterback that fell so hard as that guy from what he was in New England to what he ended up being in Dallas and Buffalo?
Could he have done what Brady did his first year?
Yes.
Didn't he get hurt? Brady took over for him, right? He got hurt in the playoffs. Was it the playoffs or late in the year? It was against the Steelers, right?
Yeah, but he could have come back in the playoffs, and they decided to stick with Brady. Yeah,
well, there's a reason for that. Bledsoe, but man, he took the Patriots to the Super Bowl in the mid-90s. I thought that there was a lot more in store for him than actually ended up being, but man, he did make his money.
But he had a good career. I mean, no, he wasn't elite, right? When someone takes over for you and does substantially better or is considered the GOAT, right, you kind of look at Drew Bledsoe as maybe not fulfilling his potential. And I'm not sure how his last few years ended up being with Dallas and with, I think, the Bills. But he was a pretty good quarterback. He did solid. He had a good career.
All right. Donovan McNabb actually signed a 12-year, $115 million deal in 2002. So this was just a year after two other 10-year deals. Good deal, bad deal?
For the time, good deal. I don't know if he had injury concerns, but hey, the Eagles were one of the upper echelon teams under his reign. Yep. He made the cover of Madden. He did good.
What did they go to, like four straight NFC championship games under him?
You guys think he's underrated at all when people look at his scope of work?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, I would agree too. Man, he was a Syracuse. He was special. He did great. But for some reason, he's never talked about as the upper echelon quarterback.
He was no Akili Smith.
Our next one was Dante Culpepper, 10-year. $102 million in 2003.
He'd be hating life right now with the strip clubs closed.
Well, wow. I had an encounter with Dante Culpepper when I had my cigar store when he was playing for the Raiders in the Bay Area. And he walked by me, and he smelled like he was at a dispensary frequently.
I don't know. He had a few good years there in Minnesota. I would call that a bad deal, though. I don't think that – Dennis Green was the head coach at the time, right, for most of that run?
Yeah.
Right? Yes. Yeah.
Some great offenses.
All right, here's one for you, Nate, your favorite guy. Michael Vick, 10 years, $130 million in 2004.
2004, that put him, what, 4 years in the league maybe, roughly?
Maybe, yes.
How many years did he play on that contract, I'm curious about?
Well, I think part of that contract, he was in jail.
Yeah, it's such a risk, man. You got to really be strategic as an ownership group who you're giving these long-term deals with, right? Because guys do some dumb stuff. They just derail great careers by just not thinking. I think with Mahomes, man, he got his head screwed up pretty straight. I think his parents did a good job with him.
Yeah. Well, Michael Vick was an extraordinary athlete, and I actually think he was a better quarterback when he got to Philadelphia than when he was in Atlanta. But I don't think you can call that a good deal with the way things ended up.
All right, here we go. This was not a 10-year contract. This was actually a 43-year contract. This was Steve Young with the USFL. He originally signed a 4-year, $40 million contract that was payable over 43 years. And if he would have paid into the annuity, it would have paid him a total of $30 million. He never paid into that annuity, and he only ended up getting $1 million check every year until 2027. But he didn't do that, so he only pocketed $4.8 million from the deal.
You guys know what team that was for the USFL?
Yes.
LA Express?
Yep.
I love the USFL, but see, it was a four-year deal?
A four-year, $40 million deal, and because the USFL went under, but his contract would allowed him to get a $1 million check every year until the year 2027 had he paid the annuity fund. He never put money into it, and he stopped getting the checks.
You know, hearing that, I just want to give a shout-out to Bobby Bonilla because we just passed Bobby Bonilla Day. So for any of you out there that don't know about Bobby Bonilla, he is a Major League Baseball player, signed a contract with the New York Mets back in the early 90s where I believe they put a bunch of money in escrow. He's still getting $1 million checks today, and I believe through probably the late 2020s, early 2030s, I think. So shout out.
Bobby Bonilla. All right. Good player. But I noticed one thing on this list. They've all been quarterbacks, right?
Yes.
And one thing about these were quarterbacks when they used to get hit. So it was extremely risky giving a guy a 10-year deal during that time frame. I think in today's market, I think the way the league is now, I wouldn't be surprised to see more quarterbacks getting a deal more similar to Mahomes. Maybe not with all this money, right? Maybe not quite as many, but I see him trying to extend it for 10 years.
Is there anybody out there right now that you think is the next up and comer that can be getting that 10-year deal? Is there anybody out there?
Maybe. I mean, he hasn't played a snap and he hasn't played a down in the NFL yet, but we'll see how Joe Burrow does with Cincinnati. Wow. I can't think of – there's no player like Patrick Mahomes, man. He, as much as I hate him, and he ripped my heart out and stomped on it, there is no player like Patrick Mahomes. He's the greatest.
Why do you hate
player.
Him?
So some people would argue Lamar Jackson.
I mean
– his body, man. He takes too many hits. I wouldn't do it.
He's not going to last 10 years.
Think about it. Vic got a 10-year deal. Very similar, but he was shorter.
I see a lot of teams hoping to give their quarterback shorter term deals so they can get away from them in a couple of years, try to find someone else cheaper.
I think this is a great deal for both sides. I think Mahomes has somewhere around $184, $185 million built into the contract for injury guarantee, which covers him like no other player in the league. It gives the Kansas City Chiefs cost certainty. Because you know in 5 years from now, the average value of his salary is probably going to be lower than what he's – or his average will be lower than what other quarterbacks are getting paid around the league. So unless there's some sort of catastrophic injury, or he regresses so badly, I don't see how this is a bad deal for either side.
Okay, I got two questions for you guys, or mainly one. In this 10-year window, how many Super Bowl appearances did the Chiefs win?
Four.
Oh, wow. Paul, what do you think? Will they make it back?
I think they're the odds-on favorite. They haven't really lost anybody. They secured up their star defensive lineman, Jones, and they added a weapon at the running back position, and they still have their wide receiver. But the key is, just like any in the salary cap era, is keeping the good players on your team together. And think about I'll throw a question right back at you, Nate. If the revenues go down, that means the salary cap goes down next year, and they're estimating it to drop by something around 30%. What's that going to do to average salaries of NFL players?
Are they going down?
Well, that's where the Chiefs deal with Mahomes was so smart, is that first year he gets very little new money the first couple of years. So they took into account with his deal what COVID-19, what this virus may do to the salary cap. So good on them. But for some other teams, like we've talked about in the past, like New Orleans, who's $34 million over next year's cap as we're talking right now, they might be in some trouble.
Interesting. All right, guys, enough of that. Let's move on. Let's move on to some other action we have taken place with the franchise tag. Can we address the franchise tag portion of this? Paulie Mack?
Franchise tag. So we have a list of players that franchise tag due date has come and gone, and very few signed multi-year deals. One of them was Patrick Mahomes, even though he wasn't a franchise tag. Also on the same team was the Chiefs star defensive lineman Jones. He signed a new deal, but a lot of franchise tag people were left out in the air, and they're not going to sign with their new team. So my question to you is, if the new teams did not sign them to a long-term deal, do they actually have any interest in keeping them on the team long term?
Well, tell me some of the players that we're talking about. We know Dak Prescott's one, right?
So what are your thoughts on Dak Prescott? Do they want to keep him?
Well, I mean, I would say no. If they don't, if they're not working something out, right? They can't agree to terms with him, right? They can't find common ground. If you have a quarterback you believe in, he's the face of your franchise. He's the leader of the locker room. You got to get something done.
How do you answer that question right now? How do you, with the amount of money that he's looking for, how do you work anything out right now with all the uncertainty?
I agree. I don't think he's willing to work with the Cowboys, or maybe the Cowboys aren't willing to work with him, whatever side you're on. But they're bickering over a 4 or 5 year deal. He wants a 4 year. They want a 5 year. It sounds like if they're not committed to him, or maybe they are, they want to give him a 5 year deal, or he wants to be able to renegotiate and get a bigger deal after this deal is signed. So maybe he doesn't want the future to be with the Cowboys. Maybe it's on him.
Well, you know, with coaching change, right? Coaches want their quarterback. They want their quarterback. They don't really want to hitch their wagon on a quarterback they didn't bring in. They may not understand some things they're trying to do offensively. So I think it's going to be a franchise tag deal for Prescott. Right. I don't think it's going to be an extension.
Had a big year for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They did not sign him to a long-term deal.
What a signing that was, huh?
He's been a journeyman throughout his NFL career.
What a signing. That was very impressive. Look, he had such production I find a way to get it done. I find a way to get a long-term deal done. That's one of the most critical positions in the NFL.
They didn't. So do they want him on the team past this year, or do they think he was a one-year wonder?
They want him on the team past this year. They need him.
I think that's the reason why they didn't. They want to see if he can do it again. If he does it again, then maybe he gets his deal.
Yeah, but then if he does it again, he gets too pricey. If he does it again, I'm sorry.
I'd rather do that than give a guy $100 million and have him suck for the next year or come out with a season with 2 sacks. I mean, come on.
I don't think you put up those kind of numbers. I mean, this wasn't 10 sacks. He had close to 20 sacks. How many sacks did he have?
The only thing I'll say is that in Denver, he's behind Von Miller and who was on the other side. I mean, they had that rookie
they drafted from Missouri.
Sorry, he's 27 years old. He never had more than 5.5 sacks when he was with Denver. And then he signed with Tampa Bay and he had 19.5.
I mean, it could just be he got his chance in Tampa Bay. He got his playing time and that's what he did in a full-time role.
Okay, so listen. Say he gets 10 sacks next year. He gets some pressure. He gets 10 sacks, but doesn't make quite the impact of 20 sacks. What type of contract is it? And do you guys consider 10 sacks from him a failure?
I don't consider it a failure, but it's definitely not 19.5.
I mean, who averages 19.5 sacks a year for a career? That's a career year. That's what it was. If he gets double-digit sacks again, that's what you're looking for, right? That's what you want. I mean, ideally, you like 15 sacks in a year, but there's not a lot of those guys. So if he can get you double-digit sacks, you give him a nice deal. But see if he can back it up with a second year in a row.
But it definitely affects the pay scale, right? You get a 10-sack guy, you know, you maybe think you could replace him with a draft. You got a 12.5-plus, you try to get him long-term, you try to sign him long-term.
All right, Bud Dupree, edge rusher for the Steelers, a former number one pick. I know for a fact, as the Steeler expert on this show, that they are not going to sign him to a long-term deal. They have T.J. Watt, who they want to commit money to, and they have already drafted his replacement, a young guy in the third round. So I do not see him paying T.J. Watt and Bud Dupree. I think after this year, he's gone.
For an outsider, why would the Steelers sign him? You're like linebacker factory. You guys just churn out pass rushers. Like, you know, like it's no thing. You could let them walk. You'll bring someone in that's going to be a terror on the edge. Well, what the Steelers do.
Well, the reason they signed him is because they still need his talent. Ben Roethlisberger has 1, maybe 2 years, and they want to have as much talent on the team as possible. They have him for 1 year. Next year, they got his replacement.
Well, 11.5 sacks, 2019. That was a career high for him. He had never had more than 6. To me, up until last year, Bud Dupree was kind of a disappointment. I thought he was going to be better than what he's been. You know, give him another year and see what he does.
I agree with you, John. It's no coincidence. A contract year, they do their best. All right, next one on the list, A.J. Green did not sign a long-term deal.
That's going to come down to Joe Burrow, right?
If Joe Burrow's good, he'll stay.
Say it again.
If Joe Burrow's good, he'll stay.
I believe so. But if he's not very good, if he struggles, A.J. Green's a little bit older. He's going to have to try to find, you know, work for a contender, maybe San Francisco, right?
I've heard rumblings he wants to be paid like a top wide receiver in the league. And I got news for A.J. Green. You're no longer a top wide receiver in the league. I don't know if he's going to get that. So he may end up back in Cincinnati.
I wouldn't say he's the top, but I think he's still elite. I think his problem is injuries. He seems like every year, even last year, he's been injured. And maybe that's why they're not signing to a long-term deal, because they probably know a little bit about his injury history.
That's absolutely why they're not signing to a long-term deal. He's been injured up and down the last few years. So,
he was on my fantasy team. Let me down.
Right. So it'd be stupid to sign him to a long-term deal. You got to give that guy, you know, he'll come back. We'll see what he does this year. I'd love for him to end up on the Niners. We could use him. But big money for that guy, I think, is in the past.
Well, I'll tell you what, though. That team hasn't looked very good the last 2 years, right? So a lot of it has to do with the performance of the rest of the players, right? I think he's still elite talent if he can stay healthy. But he's been kind of lost a bit the last 2 years with that organization.
Anthony Harris, safety for the Vikings. They franchised him at the last minute about 2 weeks before the head coach said that they do not value the safety position as the way other teams do. Your thoughts on that?
Well, there may be only 2 teams in the league that value safety positions anymore. It seems like that keeps falling further and further down on teams' priority list. I don't think a deal gets done there.
Why would you prioritize a safety? I mean, I the way that you play the game in the NFL, worry about your front 7, worry about your quarterback and worry about the guys protecting the quarterback. Other than that, I mean, why would you pay a safety? It's like paying a running back, right? I mean, how much value is in a safety? Unless you're Jamal Adams and you're an all-pro playmaker.
Yeah, yeah, different story. Different story, yes.
I think unless you're a transcendent talent like Jamal Adams or some other safeties.
Troy
like
Polamalu, right? You know, these guys are
– Vince Patrick, Ed Reed. You don't really put that money into the safety position because they're not really involved in every play. But they are the kind of the quarterback – the defense when they're out there on passing downs, which seems to be a bigger and bigger emphasis in the NFL. More teams are passing more and more and more. So you need that quarterback. You need somebody smart back there as well as athletic.
Now, I don't know if this guy's on your list, Paul, but I want to touch him real quick. If he is, cool. If not, we'll move on to the next guy. But what about George Kittle? Is he on the list?
Why do we got to talk about Niners again?
Well, because he's one of my favorite players and most – He's one of the most exciting players in the NFL. And I've been reading in the Bay Area. I've been reading talks that he should not even step on the practice field without a new deal.
Well, luckily they've asked him that, and they've asked him about a holdout. He didn't go too far in depth with it. He just responded by saying, "I'm a leader. It's important for me to be here for my team." Now, then he referred all of their questions through his agent. I think the 49ers have no problem in paying him, but much like a lot of these other guys on this list, or at least a few, with cap uncertainty, how can you commit so much money to a player other than a quarterback? It's just not smart business. I don't think you just don't know what the cap's going to look like. And to pay a tight end, even though he blocks like a tackle and runs the ball with his hands like a running back, he's still a tight end. How can you pay him $18 million, $20 million a year when you don't know what the cap's going to look like next year? That's just fiscally irresponsible. As a fan, I hate talking about this kind of stuff, but that's the era we live in with the salary cap.
Got them all worked out, Nate.
Yes. All right, what do you got, Paul? Who's next on the list?
Well, speaking of great tight ends or talented tight ends, maybe not great, one tight end that has been hampered by injuries but is a supreme talent but can't stay healthy for 1 year is Hunter Henry of the tight end Los Angeles Chargers.
I like that guy. I liked him in the draft. I think they have another quality tight end on that roster too, right? Not Antonio Gates, but they have another guy that's up-and-coming guy, right?
My opinion is that they really like Hunter Henry, and they want to keep him, but they also want to know that he can stay healthy. Up until this point, he's not been able to stay on the field. Another fantasy player of mine this past season. So I know he cannot stay healthy on the field. But when he is on the field, he's deadly. I mean, he's catching touchdowns and passes. He was a blanket for Phillip Rivers. Who knows how he's going to perform with a new rookie quarterback.
He's productive when he plays, right? He's just like Jordan Reed and Evan Ingram. These guys are athletic freaks that produce when they're on the field. But they must be built like their girlfriends because they can't stay on the field. And that's a problem, right? In the NFL, if you can't stay on the field, that's a problem. So Hunter Henry, another really good player, but can't stay healthy. A lot of these guys just can't stay healthy. That's an issue.
That's why I see him moving on, signing a lucrative deal elsewhere and having a very, very good NFL career. Because I don't know if the Los Angeles Chargers could get a long-term deal with him with the uncertainty of physical body.
All right, Matthew Judon, edge rusher, Baltimore Ravens.
He's really kind of just come on in the last few years, hasn't he? I mean,
yeah, last couple years.
Last couple years, he's had some decent years. I don't know. He's a very solid player, but not somebody you're going to build your defense around, in my opinion.
Like the Steelers, this is another organization that they know what they're doing. You know, they know what they're doing. I trust them to replace guys through the draft. They've been drafting really well the last couple of years. I always like what they do on draft day. They let him go. I'm confident they'll find a solid replacement for him.
I'm not saying they don't have anybody in the pipeline, but from what I saw last year, he's their main pass rusher. They used to have Suggs and always somebody else, or they'd have a blitz package, but they always had Suggs on the outside to put that pressure, and Judon's that guy. And from what I've seen, they don't really have anybody else on the edge that can create that pressure. Now, that may change this year based off their draft, but as of right now, he's it.
Well, I hope they can replace 9.5 sacks in production. Man, you can't replace that. You're in trouble.
I know.
So let's see what happens.
All right. This last guy, I don't want to butcher his name. the defensive end for the Jaguars. Somebody want to help me with his name? Yannick
Ngakoue.
Thank you.
Whatever. We just know he's good.
Yeah, he's very good. But he wants out of Jacksonville. I mean, it's not even pretty there. He's trade demands. He thought he was going to get traded. He still might get traded, but he is not happy in Jacksonville.
This was my IDP fantasy sleeper 2 years ago when he had 12. He's a good player. He stuck there. Isn't he in a rotation there in Jacksonville last year with Josh Allen, Calais Campbell played on that line? There's a few guys they have there on the end, right? But very good player, and I think whoever gets him is going to be really excited for the next few years. He's still very young, but I like this guy, and I was kind of hoping the Niners might be able to sign him, throw him down on the line, make them even more ferocious than they already are. But one of my favorites, Paul.
Hey, I love this list, and one thing would be pretty cool for us to do on our website or one of our social media platforms is kind of do our projections for these guys' salary. Let's kind of see what we think these guys will get. And maybe if they'll sign with their team, I think it'd be kind of fun. And I think our listeners may like participating in something like that, too.
Young up-and-coming safety from the Denver Broncos, Justin Simmons, maybe falls in that category as you don't really pay safeties. What are your thoughts?
I don't have any. John, you have any? Again, safeties, look, I'm drafting safeties in the rounds 3 through 5. I'm not, unless they are elite, Polamalu type, Adams type, I'm not giving them a second. Hate to say it, but that's how I'm doing it.
Ultra productive safety, but like Nate, you're a safety, bro.
Exactly. All right. Find me a good
nickel corner. I need me a nickel corner over a safety.
All right. And we've seen this dance before with offensive linemen and the New England Patriots. Joe Thuney.
Joe Thuney. Thuney, right?
Are you killing Patriots? Guard with the Patriots.
Okay, well, one thing about the Patriots, they're going to have to do a better job of protecting the quarterbacks. I mean, it's a new era there now, right? It's a new era. We'll see. We talked about this a few weeks ago. We'll see what Cam Newton does, or who do you predict is going to be their starter, Paul? What's his name? Stidham? Who's their quarterback?
It's going to be Cam Newton.
Huh?
It's Stidham. It ain't going to be Cam Newton. My question.
Well, whoever it is, they're going to have to protect them. They're going to have to fortify an offensive line that can protect their quarterback, or they're going to win a game.
But you know, he's a solid guard, four-year starter, a solid player. Any team in the NFL can use a guy on the interior, especially with the offensive line play around the NFL.
Well, I think he's more than solid that the Patriots are giving him a franchise tag. But you know how the Patriots like to strong-arm their players, and if they can't get them to agree to a new deal, I wouldn't be surprised if they trade him. Just like they did Chandler Jones and many other superstars, Richard Seymour, that right before the season.
Unless he takes a hometown discount, I wouldn't buy a house in New England.
Exactly. And the last one, Leonard Williams, got traded from the New York Jets to the New York Giants this past year, and they franchised him because they could not get him to sign a long-term deal. What are you guys' thoughts?
I thought he would be more
– I like him.
You like him?
I like him coming out of college. I thought he would be more of an elite player. He's been good, but not great. I don't know what his contract demands are, but if he wants elite money, I don't see him getting it. If he wants top dog money, I don't see him getting it. I could be fair to him. I would sign him to a deal that makes him one of the highest paid players at his position, but I wouldn't break the bank for him.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head, Nate. Leonard Williams, he's never really lived up to that first round talent. He's been very good, but I don't think he's been great. And they were hoping that when he went to New York that he turned into that great player because he was that great talent, but it just hasn't translated. He's very good, don't get me wrong, but do you really want to invest all that money into Leonard Williams?
When you do, does he regress when you do?
He had a decent second year.
Are you talking about Albert Haynesworth?
I mean, he had a decent second year, but he really hasn't come close to that good run stuffer. But I wouldn't – yeah, I was expecting him to be more elite with the pub he was coming out of USC with.
And that's it.
Okay, guys, we got some Washington, D.C. news to talk about. We might as well be based in D.C. or Maryland. It's like we talk a lot about that franchise in Washington. But however, I know it's sad, but there's some rape allegations or sexual harassment allegations.
Rape allegation? I didn't hear this one.
Well, I know. Well, I better recheck my tweet I just got earlier, but it is deep harassment allegations brought upon the Redskins.
Are you breaking news right now, Nate?
Well, I think it was a joke tweet that I got. We should be joking about that. But what do you got? What do you got about this, Paulie? What do you got for us?
Well, my opinion on this is what's bad just keeps getting worse for the Redskins franchise. There's some definite issues with them thinking the team is racist, and now you have a sexual harassment claim. Well,
multiple claims, correct?
Multiple claims.
15 former female employees and two journalists.
Yes. So it sounds like they fired a couple guys. A couple guys resigned. And this is the tip of the iceberg. It sounds like we're going to be talking about this until football starts. But this is another black eye for Daniel Snyder. And ever since he's taken over that franchise, he's basically made the franchise a black eye to the NFL.
Do you think he will be forced to sell with the way he's handling? Look, his minority owners are getting out, right? They're jumping ship.
They want to give up their stake in the team. But we're talking about the director of pro scouting and the assistant director of pro scouting, along with the Redskin play-by-play guy, Larry Michael, who's already retired because of the allegations. He abruptly retired. The other two guys were let go already. They've hired Beth Wilkinson, big-time attorney. She was on the prosecution against Timothy McVeigh, delivered the closing arguments in that trial. They've retained her to do a full-scale investigation. To me, Dan Snyder is so transparent, and I have a question for the NFL. 6 years ago, Ray Rice struck a woman and never played a down again in the NFL. This guy in 2018, his team, they were found to have used their cheerleaders as escorts, forced them to encourage them to take topless photos, and then people were granted access to those. That was in 2018. Now you have these brand new allegations. Now, this guy is the owner of this team. He should be banned from the NFL. And if they don't ban him from the NFL, I don't care that he didn't do any of that. He knew what was going on. Bruce Allen's door, his office, was right outside where one of these women and these accusations would sob outside his office at her desk once or twice a month because of what was going on. This guy should be kicked out of the NFL. If he's not, it's a double standard and nothing but hypocrisy.
Well,
strong take. I like that. But look, he's the owner, man. The buck stops with him. He's the owner. This is his team. And it's going to be interesting how Goodell handles this. Goodell, he punishes players pretty harshly, but owners seem to get a little bit lax pass on. So it's going to be very interesting on how he handles it.
Well, this is what I'll say about the Ray Rice situation. Ray Rice directly did that. There's been no evidence that Daniel Snyder directly did this. I'm not saying I'm taking his side or that he's right. I think he's wrong, and the buck should stop with him. And I do see Goodell imposing some kind of penalty on the Redskins organization, maybe taking away a first-round pick, because you cannot allow this to happen under your watch. You know, the buck does stop with him, but as far as him being forced to sell his own franchise, I don't think that happens unless he can be tied to any of these allegations directly to him.
You know what's kind of messed up?
Either, but it should happen.
I agree.
Do you guys think Goodell likes Daniel Snyder in the club?
Yes. They party together.
They do. Because we know Goodell likes Robert Kraft, right? And it's going to be interesting to see if Snyder, because Snyder doesn't seem like he's very well liked in the circles, right? When the Rams moved to L.A., you kind of got a good play of the inner circle of owners, like who wields the most power. You know, who does, and Snyder was seldom mentioned. I'm curious where he fits in. We're going to learn a lot about his prestige or his position in that inner circle with what happens in the next.
Okay, I have a question for both of you. He knew this was coming. He retained a lawyer. How much of him acquiescing on the name change has to do with him knowing this story was coming out?
I think a lot. It's not 100%, but he, based off the social dynamics, that put a lot of pressure, and Nike and Walmart and Amazon not selling the Redskin products anymore, that put a lot of pressure on him. When your partners no longer sell your logos or your logoed items, or they won't put stuff on their sites, that puts a lot of pressure on you to make a change. And he was feeling that change. Plus, he already knew this was in the pipeline, and he knew he had to do something different to address these changes as if they weren't going to pile up. And he knew they were piling up, and this was the next domino to fall.
I think Daniel Snyder is a pretentious douchebag that should be passed around the cell block and made to feel just like those women were made to feel in his organization. You putz.
Well, let me tell you who I feel for, man.
You sound like a Redskins, every Redskins fan right now. I think they all feel the same way.
Well, yeah, I'm thinking the same thing, man. The Redskins are a proud – I'm sorry. We'll call them the Redskins. That's what they're historically known as. But they're a proud organization. They've had so much success. I never liked Joe Theismann, but you know that was a great organization. And when you have an owner that is more concerned with his profits over product, the fans suffer. The fans get cheated. They get cheated. And the D.C. fans, the fans of that organization – have been cheated under
him. Hey, I'm disappointed. You're calling him Joe Theismann. You know his name is Joe Theismann, and he changed it.
For the Heisman Trophy. I know. But we're going to refer to him as Joe Theismann on the show because it was catastrophic injury. But
I know. He broke his leg on Monday Night Football. Jeez. He's gotten so much mileage out of that story, and I know it was a horrific incident, but it's almost like he loves that story now, to tell that story now.
I think he might be one of the few athletes whose ego rivals that of LeBron James. His ego, he has – who changes their name to try to get a Heisman Trophy? And I know he does think he was the best quarterback to ever come out of Notre Dame. I do know that.
But we know that's not true. We all know that's not true. Blasphemy.
Hey, if we're talking about name changes that aren't spelled correctly, you don't pronounce Brett Favre. That is
Brett
not
Favre.
I won't even try to say
it's
it.
Not Favre.
I won't even try to say it. Favre. But I remember looking at the draft guide, and we were that draft, Paul. We're looking at the draft. Who knows what we were calling him, but we weren't calling him Brett Favre.
No, you don't get Brett Favre out of the way you spell his name.
All right, guys. Hey, you know what? If you guys don't have stock in EA Sports, I would buy some now. I have a feeling this edition of Madden Football, Madden 2021, is probably going to be one of the best sellers of all time. People are just jonesing for sports. They want sports so bad. And in 30 days from now, it's being released. And with that, we have the ranking. The Madden ratings are out. Players are upset with where they came in. Some players are elated. Did you guys look at any of these?
Oh, they're outraged. They're always outraged. You can get a 95 out of somebody, and they think they're a 99. They feel totally disrespected. It doesn't matter what their rating is. It's never good enough.
Yeah, every player thinks they're a 99. But with the 99 club, there was five players this year, five players on the 99 club, led by Aaron Donald.
Of course. He should be a 99. He
absolutely stud.
Who's averaging 19 and a half sacks? I think, I could be wrong, but I think he's averaging something almost 20 sacks a year.
It's not that many. Stop.
Paul really should have been his agent. Yes. Paul would have got that guy paid. Paul hyped him from the draft. Oh. Paul would have been a great agent for that guy.
You know you loved him. You were right. Yes.
Yeah. Probably. Bow to Paul. Bow to Paul.
Cameron Wake, Aaron Donald. Yes. Cameron Wake, Aaron Donald, Hugh Douglas. Did I forget anybody?
Oh, don't forget J.J. Watt.
J.J. Watt. There you go.
What about Mike Mamula?
I love TJ, so.
Oh, but Paul missed on Mike Mamula, if you guys remember him.
I remember him. Wasn't he supposed to be a stud?
Don't put me in there.
Come on. You hit 19 out of 20. You got to have one dud every once in a while for that, but it's okay.
Paul had Bryce Pop, too, didn't he?
No.
Bryce Pop? Yeah, Bryce Pop?
That was our buddy Sean Colcassi. He loved himself some Bryce Pop. That was his guy. Okay, look, for the 99 club, we led by Aaron Donald. Newcomer on the list is, and Kittle has some cool things to say about this guy, but Christian McCaffrey, 99.
Yes.
George Kittle said he should have got 100 based on the size of his biceps alone, but 99 for McCaffrey. We got Michael Thomas at 99.
No, I disagree. He's a great receiver, but he's not taking the tops off of defense. I mean, you give somebody a 99 if they have great hands, elite speed, and they can run all the routes. Not that he can't, but I mean, he's not really taking the top off of defense.
Well, he doesn't have all the tools in the toolbox, but he's still an elite wide receiver and probably top, three or five in the league. I think he's Drew Brees' only weapon.
He's an elite wide receiver that puts up elite stats, but when you're picking your not fantasy players, but if you had to draft wide receivers, I think he's maybe fifth, sixth, seventh at most based off of talent, speed, hands.
Well, the guy was a five-star recruit, right? Great player, ball so much. They throw to him so much, right? So the more targets he gets, I think that kind of boosts him. But I don't think that he's a 99. He's great. 95, 97. To be in the club, that's an elite accomplishment. And that's awesome. So we got Patrick Mahomes, 99, 10-year, 503, 99. The number one ranked cornerback in this rating is Stephon Gilmore.
You got to give him that because he got defensive player of the year.
Yeah, he's a great player. He's a great player. No qualms with that. I don't have any qualms with any of the guys that are 99. I think they all deserve that rating. They're all great players.
Who's disrespected? I want to know who is disrespected out there.
I'll tell you who's disrespected. I got a couple players right here who are disrespected. How do you rank Bobby Wagner in 98 and Fred Warner in 87? Can somebody just answer me this question? Are these career rankings or are they rankings based off of last season?
Last year, Bobby Wagner was a 99. He did drop 1 point.
Okay. And Fred Warner had the better year, correct? He had the better season stat-wise. His team was in the Super Bowl. He had the pick in the Super Bowl. Probably would have been MVP or one of the candidates had they held on to win that game. Quarterback, the number one defense in the league last year. And you're telling me he's an 87 and Bobby Wagner's a 98?
Okay.
Really?
87, justify that. 87 is a damn good ranking.
Yeah, it is. For a young player
with a high improvement. He's probably by the middle of the season, he's probably going to be 95, and you're upset with that?
He had a better year. You're doing these rankings in the offseason. These aren't in-season rankings. He had a better year. Why is he only an 87? I don't get that. And why is Jimmy G not ranked in the top 10? He's 11th. That's bullshit. He had a better season than Aaron Rodgers. He had a better season than Drew Brees. Relax. They're ranked in the top 5.
Relax.
I'm tired of the fucking hate.
John, you've only talked about Niners again.
Okay, well, looking at the Niners roster.
Odell Beckham's a 91. That's bullshit. You're telling me he's better than Cooper Kupp? No fucking way.
Interesting. Passion. Well, but the Niners have one of the highest ranking rosters in all of Madden. We can't talk too much.
So John, I don't want your venom to come out at me, but technically it was like his first, he started the year of his rookie year. Okay. He had a good year. He actually had more tackles his rookie year than he did this year. So he actually had a down year. But when you think of like players that are 99, they're high impact players. You see them making plays, highlights, tackles for losses, forced fumbles, interceptions, and he just had one interception.
You're missing my point. I don't have a problem with Fred Warner being an 87, but Bobby Wagner better be like a 91.
No, it's not.
That's my issue.
Okay. Well, you said Fred Warner.
The disparity between the two players. I don't see Bobby Wagner way up here and Fred Warner way down here we're talking about last year.
Okay, so definitely you think in 2020 that Bobby Wagner had no should not have been in the 99 club. That's where he was. So you're saying that he should have fell at least 9 points in one season?
He's a 98 this year based off of last year. I don't think he should be a 98. He was a 99 the year before. That's fine. I'm talking about last year. He shouldn't be that high. And if he's that high, the disparity between the two shouldn't be that much.
But John, he had 159 tackles. He almost averages 130, 40 tackles every year. He's a constant playmaker, a perennial Pro Bowler.
He had 86 solo tackles. Fred Warner had 89. He had one pick. Fred Warner had one pick. He had 3 forced fumbles. Bobby Wagner only had one. And Fred Warner was the quarterback of the number one defense in the NFL and went to the Super Bowl.
Well, listen, what I'm going to do, and I'm going to email him, see if I get a response, but I'm going to email your defensive coordinator for the San Francisco 49ers, Robert Saleh, who coached them both, and I want his take on that.
It's great. Let's ask Mr. Clean.
Well, if anyone should be mad, what Jared Goff, I think, was a 73.
He deserved that ranking.
And that's about right. That's about right. What about your right tackle? McGlinkley's at like an 87?
Yeah, around an 87. Look, he's a great run blocker, horrible pass blocker. Probably should be ranked a little lower.
Okay, let's talk, and I hate the Baltimore Ravens, but we're talking Madden. Lamar Jackson, MVP, he's only a 94.
Well, you know, things like awareness, like some of the smaller attributes for quarterback play, awareness, accuracy, a little bit lower, which could develop.
He had a high awareness rating, didn't he? He had like a 90-something awareness rating.
Was it 91? What was it? I don't have it in front of me, so I can't say. What I printed out, I can't read. I have my readers, so if someone could pull that up. But 94 is fitting. You know how hard it is to get at 99? I don't know. We talk about linebackers, right? I think London Fletcher only maxed out like 93 as a middle linebacker. And that guy was a stud. .com was amazing, right? So when you get to the 99 level, when you get in the high 90s in Madden, it just means like all your attributes are elite.
Agreed. I agree. And I think Lamar Jackson probably should have been rated a little higher. I mean, if you look, he had 36 touchdown passes last year. I believe that led the league. His quarterback rating was high. He probably should have been rated around 96, 97 based off the year he had.
Well, things I know that, you know, there's some outrage for some of these players. And one guy that stood out to me, and I don't know his exact score, but Kyler Murray was pretty upset with his.
He's a rookie.
I know. So what do you want to be? You want to be in the 80s? I mean, you know, the cool thing about Madden, right? You play a franchise, the guys get better every year. You take them through those drills, you improve their ratings, right? The algorithm updates throughout the year. So what these guys are, what they want to see is pretty fascinating.
All right. One that really stood out to me was Von Miller. Von Miller was rated a 97, and normally he has the 14, 15, 13, 10 sack, double-digit sacks. He only had 8 last year. How is he still a 97?
Off a reputation, like Bobby Wagner.
Hey, Von Miller, look, I didn't watch many Broncos games, but I did see a couple. He has to be accounted for in every. He puts a lot of pressure on quarterbacks. You know, as we know, it's not always about this. It's about pressures, and I still think he's an elite player. I don't know. I can't say that I know his game's fallen off that much over the last season. He's an impact player. I would love him on any of my teams. I think he's great.
He had some trouble adjusting to Fangio's defense last year.
Oh, get out of here. If you're an elite talent, you can perform. And don't make excuses. We're not talking about what they do or accounted for. We're talking about stats which drive Madden rating.
Well, hey, there's one thing that I did notice, and I'm gonna post it up on Twitter. Or one of Facebook, there was a cool little metric that compared their Pro Football ranking with their Madden ranking. And it has a little article about who was the top rated tight end on Pro Football Focus and then who's the top rated tight end on Madden. So it's pretty cool. Let's get that up on one of the websites and on Twitter so we can just have a little dialogue on that. And I do believe it's going to be we'll talk about that. Is there going to be a football season? And if not, the season may be done through Madden. It may be a virtual season through Madden.
All right, who's better, Nate? Shaq Barrett, who had, 19 and a half sacks, or Von Miller?
Who's better athletically?
No, performance. That's what you rate your players on. Shaq Barrett, franchise, didn't sign him long term, disrespected in Madden, and 85 overall.
Okay, well, last year, Shaq Barrett was clearly the better performer.
You think he should have been an 85 overall in Madden?
What was he the year before? 71? You can't jump 14 points. I mean, yeah.
Why do we keep talking about that? I thought these were based off of 1 year and how you played. Why are we talking about improvement ratings? That's not the way these are supposed to be, right?
Yeah.
It's based off of year.
It's not just based off your year. It's based on who you are as an athlete, your metrics.
Okay, but the video game ratings are based off your previous year. They're supposed to be, correct?
Partially, yes.
So what's the other part?
The part is your projection.
Okay. So
you're saying for every player, they just look at last year and give them a grade. So like if you have a quarterback that's injured, you're going to drop.
No. I'm not saying you give, you know, Tommy Maddox a 50 1 year because he came in and won 4 games. He went 4-0 and took the Steelers to the playoffs that all of a sudden he's an 80 or something like that. But when you have a player that's put out 19 and a half sacks. What was Von Miller's rating again? 97?
97. Shaq Barrett's was an 85.
Again, I don't – that's a huge discrepancy. I see a problem with that. You don't?
No, once we get the game and we simulate it and you see that Shaq Barrett's getting you sacks, but maybe he's not making any plays on the run, you're not going to even care.
I was just saying because I'm going to be really pissed if we're playing and I have Shaq Barrett, and because he's an 85, he can't get the amount of sacks that Von Miller got, even though Von Miller only had 7 last year. But my boy put up 19 and a half.
Okay, do you know how many metrics they use to form this grade? They're not just talking about their spin move and their acceleration. I mean, how well they – I mean, you're saying they're the same – they're cut from the same ilk as playmakers?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you have a guy that had 19 and a half sacks like – last year. That doesn't happen. How many times in a career do you get 19 and a half sacks, the same player? Very rarely. A couple of times, right? Where is the disparity there with Von Miller, who at a 97 had 7 sacks, and the guy that backed him up went to Tampa Bay and had 19 and a half? You're going to tell me he's 12 percentage points less or more than Shaq Barrett the way they played last year?
What I love about this conversation is we talk about this with the franchise. I mean, there's a reason Shaq Barrett isn't signed. If he was a 95 or 96, like you're saying, I'm sure they'd be signing him to a long-term deal. They want to see it.
What about T.J. Watt? He was an 86 and Von Miller's a 97. T.J. Watt finished second in Defensive Player of the Year.
And what, he had 14 and a half sacks last year, Paul? That guy's an animal. And what did he have the year before? You want to talk about year over year. What did he have the year before? He had double digit sacks the year before too, right?
He had a very
okay. So how is he still only an 86 going off of the way you're doing your ratings, Nate?
Okay, well, when we simulate the season and you see that T.J. Watt has just as many sacks as him, but maybe didn't play the run as well, maybe didn't have as many tackles, then you'd be like, your argument won't make any sense.
Well, this is what I think. So let's say you simulate the season, okay? Your team has to play and put up results based off of your team and how they played the season before. So like you said, a lot of Niners have some of the highest rated Madden ratings for this 2020 season. So when you simulate that team, it's going to finish at the top or be in the Super Bowl. But the Steelers didn't have a good year, so they can't have like all these superstars on defense and give them high ratings, because when you simulate the season, they're going to go farther than they estimated them. So I can see them factoring that in when they knock some people down, because if let's say you put T.J. Watt on Von Miller's level, which I think he's actually above that right now, and give him a 97, the Steelers' defense might be unstoppable in Madden.
Well, you know what's funny about this? Like, I really loved playing Madden the most when the Rams were actually good in the late 2000s, the late 90s, early 2000s. When they were bad, I didn't want to play them, right? So Paul, what you said is really true. It does sum it up. And look, EA Sports, you can remember this, man, because remember, EA Sports did the Earl Weaver baseball. Remember how kind of pure that was? So man, they spent a lot of money, a lot of capital on I still like Focus Week rankings a little bit better, but I think they do a great job. And I think we're going to have a lot of fun simulating some games this year, simulating some fantasy performances based on their rating.
But I think they do this to get media attention for their game. Their game comes out and it gets a lot of publicity. People are looking forward to it, but they want this controversy because they're being talked about.
Yes. Oh yeah. It's amazing. It's amazing. I think it's going to be great. Now, let's touch on one more thing on Madden, then we're going to go to our last subject, the Madden curse. You guys are familiar with the Madden curse, right?
Yeah.
You make the cover, you tend to have an injury or an off year.
Didn't happen last year, right? Mahomes won a Super Bowl.
Well, yeah, Mahomes is like an outlier. I think he's kind of like the Steph Curry of the quarterback position. He's kind of like the golden boy.
Who's on the
cover? Lamar Jackson's on the cover there.
Oh, he's getting hurt.
Well, hey. and his playing style, right, he has a high chance of getting hurt. But I'm going to make a bold prediction here for 2022. I predict Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be on the cover of Madden.
I love you.
And he's going to be at a 95 status. He has a higher likelihood than Dak Prescott being on the cover. I'll tell you that right now.
I love it. I agree wholeheartedly.
No, you don't agree with that.
I agree. I say he's going to be a 99 next year. Gone. 99.
Gone. He's not even in the top 10 rankings.
I know. Don't let me get into that again. I already said better year than Breeze, better year than Rodgers, top 10 in all adjusted and advanced metrics and regular stats that we all look at, like touchdowns, all that crap. He's top 10. They hate on him because he's good looking.
I think they downgraded him for that overthrow in the Super Bowl. He probably lost 7 points on
that. I'm so tired of hearing about that overthrow. Come on.
And I think Paul was right. You get him number one receiver, that'll get him 8 points right there.
He won't be better because their best receiver's hurt. They don't have anybody that's a proven number one, and it's unfortunate. They may go just as far or win the Super Bowl. I highly doubt it because most teams that lose the Super Bowl don't go back. But I find it hard that he's going to put up better stats.
Well, they do have a pretty soft schedule. Usually you make it to the Super Bowl, you got a little tough schedule. I mean, the Niners' first like 7-6 games is kind of cream puff. So he should be able to pad his stats a little. All right, enough of the NFL. Let's bring up our last topic here. We got some NBA action to touch on. And the more I read about this, the more this is so bizarre to me. What's the NBA doing, Paul? Paulie?
Apparently, which I knew this was going to happen. All the NBA is quarantined. They're basically staying at Disney World and they're in a bubble technically, and they're not supposed to leave. But you know, these are NBA players. They're complaining about the food that they're getting, their families and girlfriends, and there's no strip clubs in there. They cannot contain themselves. They're leaving the bubble at an outrageous pace. Zion Williamson, he left the bubble. Two more players, Richard Holmes of the Kings and Bruno Cabillo of the Rockets.
Accidentally they left the bubble.
Oh, yeah, of course they accidentally. And players, you're going to see it more and more, is they have a family emergency.
I don't get what the big deal is. I really don't. It's like summer camp. Come on, it's a couple months. It's your job. Some of the amenities they have there, according to a report from the USA Today, okay? Movie screening, barbers, manicurists. I'm sure they have top flight food there.
DJ, what about massage?
They have DJ sets. They have DJ sets, lounges. They have a DJ there. They have lounges there, video game room area. They have stuff to do. They're not stuck in their rooms. Okay, suck it up.
John, you know that the two most important things to NBA players are strip clubs and weed, and they don't have access to either of those.
I get that's an issue, but it shouldn't be one that prevents you from doing your job and putting 400-something other players, people that work there, at risk. Get it together. Stay inside the bubble. But I'm with you, Paul. I don't see how they're going to enforce it. People are going to do what they want to do. They've already had issues.
Listen. These basketball players, these kids, like at sixth grade, no one could tell them what to do. They were being pampered by their handlers, right? Being recruited, getting money from agents at sixth grade. There's no way anyone could tell these guys what to do. It's just the NBA. That's who they are. That's how the NBA players are probably the worst, right? They're going to do their own thing. They're going to live their own. But I want to know, what's the NBA doing? Does this strategy make sense to you guys? Does this seem fun to you? I'm going to check it out. You guys know I'm a Laker fan, right? If the Lakers win the title this year, I won't even be happy. It's a 3-on-3 tournament, outdoor 3-on-3 tournament.
They can't do that, though. They have to fulfill their obligations to the network to provide so much live, to provide so many live games, okay? I don't know what kind of out clauses are built into these contracts for the network, and without being privy to that, it's hard to know why they're pushing ahead with this. I like your idea. They should be playing outdoors in a tournament where it's safe for everybody. This season's supposed to be a one-off. Maybe not. They're already talking about the 2021 season. Next year, are there going to be fans? They're talking about stadiums with maybe 3,000 fans in them, if that. So this might be something that goes into next year.
I think we're only, what, 2-3 weeks in, and we're already seeing people leave the bubble. Wait till they get sick of them, and you'll just see another player after another player, and they're going to treat this just like the NFL and players, or great players, treat the concussion protocol. They'll go to the sidelines real quick. He looks good to me. Throw him back in the game, and they're going to turn a blind eye to anybody that leaves the bubble. You know, maybe the guys that are 8th, 9th, 10th on the bench, they'll do something about or enforce something to kind of scare somebody. But for the most part, if you're a star and you leave the bubble, LeBron James leaves a bubble, nobody's saying anything. And if they'll make it up to where it was a family emergency.
I would.
No one's going to report it.
I'll call the hotline right now.
When the elite guys leave, no one's going to report it.
They have a hotline for it, right? They've set up a snitch hotline where if you see somebody cross that imaginary line, you're supposed to call it in.
Brothers don't snitch. Come on now.
Snitches get stitches. Come on.
It's like Hotline Bling, where they play Drake Hotline Bling. Okay, look, I got two questions for you guys. You're the commissioner. You're Adam Silver. How would you handle this basketball? And I'll tell you what I would do. I'll start with what I do. I'm going to cancel this. I'm not going to play. We're going to suspend the season. It's just how it is, like a wartime season. This is a joke. This is like, I don't want to watch it. I don't want to talk about it. It just seems it's retarded.
I think right now they've got bigger issues besides playing, but they should play. I don't know if this bubble is the answer. I don't think that does anything for anybody. I think we should get back to normalcy, to be normal about this whole situation. The team travels by themselves and stays in a hotel or a floor by themselves, and they play without fans. But I don't think the workers at Disney World are going home every night. So it just doesn't make sense to be in a bubble.
It doesn't make sense to me either. And if I'm the commissioner, I do, if you want to play the season, then I play it like a normal season. You get guys to sign waivers, and then whoever doesn't want to play, you fill up the rosters with whoever you can get. If it gets bad enough, then maybe you have to cancel. Yeah. I don't know the contracts for the networks without knowing that. That's what I say, though. You play the season like normal. If people want to show up, you have them sign waivers. I say you should have fans sign waivers. If fans want to show up, have them sign waivers. Same thing for the players. But to do it this way, I agree with you. It's silly, and I don't think it's going to work.
I like it. I agree with you guys. Hey, as always, man, you guys have been awesome. Great talking with you guys. I love it. Great show. Now, we're starting Florida since it's late there. Paulie Mack, you have any final thoughts for us?
Yes, I do have some final thoughts. My final thought is that people shouldn't get so worked up over the Madden ratings. It's just a video game. So curb the excitement. You know, you'll have fun playing the game no matter what your guy is at. And if they're really a transcendent talent, they will go up over time.
Amen. I agree with that.
I want to know who's making these rankings. Is that stupid, stupid, curly-headed, perm fuck Skip Bayless, noted Niner hater? It looks like he's the one that gave that 83 ranking to Jimmy Garoppolo. If I saw him, well, I'm not going to say what I do. I don't want to get arrested for making threats. But I don't, you know, Madden rankings, it's all in fun, right? It's just to get people talking, drum up interest. He tweets all over the place. I enjoy talking about it, but it's all in fun.
Okay. Well, one thing that we're going to post on our website or to Twitter, you see some of these players, there's a little clip up, Patrick Mahomes last year talking to one of the Madden scouts that set the ratings, and he was talking about his toughness rating. So they really take this thing seriously. They're trying to say, you know, no, I'm tougher than that. So these kids, right, they grew up on the video games, right? So this means so much to them, and they're trying to persuade these guys to give them higher scores. It's pretty fascinating. But my final thought is this, and it's a little bit of a take. You guys grew up playing Madden, right?
Yes.
John? Johnny G, did you grow up playing Madden?
Yep, I still play Madden. What are you talking about?
All right, did you ever take your favorite team and boost the players' rankings?
I still do that. What are you talking about?
So they're all 99s. Who cares what they get scored? Who cares what grades they're on? John's team, everyone's a 99.
I'm the most dominant team in my house.
All right, guys, it's been awesome. Thank you. My final thought is remind all our listeners, find us on our social media accounts. Again, a little reminder, we're out. All social media platforms, engage with us, ask questions. We'll include you guys in the show. All platforms, we're at Now on the Clock Podcast. Find us, like us, engage with us. Thank you, guys. You guys have a great night. We'll talk soon.